You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Here we go.
Wow.
Bro, welcome back to the Cooligans. I know we're supposed to talk about all of the World Cup action, but there's only one thing that is important. The U.S. just beat England 0-0.
What a result. What a result. America undefeated against England at the World Cup.
Bro.
We did it again.
We done destroyed them. 0-0.
Red, white, and blue. Let's go.
Bruh, even though their flags have the same colors, bro. Ours don't run. That's the difference.
Yo. Oh, just what a day. Okay, even Kevin getting in on it.
He understands. Bro, this was, we tried to tell them. We tried.
And you know, when we say them, you know who we're talking
bro,
about.
Bro, you dusty ass Wayne Rooney, dusty ass Owen, dusty ass Boovy. We love y'all. Wayne, we don't know you.
Wayne, please do the show sometime.
Yeah, do the show sometime. Even though you dusty, bro.
We'll clean up right after you.
We'll brush your shoulders off. We tried to tell y'all, these people, Jamal, we're talking 4-0. 4-0.
Everybody,
look, is that what you saw?
Go look through our comment section on our Instagram posts, on Twitter, everywhere. Bruh. Everybody was like, we're gonna smash y'all 4-0. It's not even gonna be a game, it's gonna be embarrassing.
We might take it easy, we might put in a B squad. Yeah, A squad couldn't even contend. And you know what's pissing me off? Rory Jennings right now is talking about Gareth Southgate needs to get sacked in the middle of the damn competition, which is their way of saying, I can't admit that the U.S. played us off the pitch for the majority of both halves.
Look, if you saw the post-match interview with Gareth Southgate, he kind of gave the U.S. their flowers a little bit. Saying, look, it was a good team. He just couldn't figure out tactically what, you know, they went at a 4-4-2. They blocked all the passing lanes. You saw Jude Bellingham in the game against Iran. He was just having a great time picking passes.
Bro, wait a minute. You saw Jude Bellingham? Because I didn't see Jude Bellingham.
Jude Bellingham got like, if he got, honestly, if he got more than 25 touches in that game, I'd be impressed.
My guy got ate up like a buffet. He was in more than one U.S. players pocket.
The midfield, you saw on Sky Sports, I think, Roy Keane being like, oh, they were, well, poor performance. I don't know. I can't do the Irish accent. But,
I was going to try and I can't do it either.
But he said it was a poor performance from England that they could. And Gary Neville was saying that
Gary Neville couldn't even say the words USA.
Yes.
Remember when he talked shit? He said, we need to get the Americans out of the game right now. Remember when he said that a couple weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Bro, he couldn't bring himself to do it. You can take the Qatar money, but you couldn't say America.
Bro. Look, some people have I don't know if it's a rivalry.
It's an anti-U.S. men's national team and U.S. women's national team agenda.
They want to embarrass the United States. We know that.
That's what they want.
That's what they want at all times. This is the only time they can. Why else would they talk to us like that in our comment section? We're very nice people. Why
they
are you talking to us like that?
Faces, bro. Boovy said it to my face. He said he had the balls to say Iran is better than you defensively. They're better than you in the midfield, and they are better coached than the U.S. men's national
Madness.
Team. What are you watching?
They don't watch the U.S. We know that. So it's fine.
Our editor told us to mute the chat. And there was nothing in there, just like the scoreline, bro.
Bro, I look, this is, I had tweeted this out. I said, this is the comment section derby, bro.
He said, biggest result for you in a decade. Congratulations.
You see?
They're drinking.
You see?
The tea is a little sour.
They can't accept. They can't accept it. They can't bro. Accept it. They couldn't figure out the United States. That's it.
He said an awful England performance, but you were still never in the game. What were they watching?
What? They got,
it couldn't have been that.
Well, how many corners? It was like eight corners hitting the post. A couple. Weston McKennie hits it over the bar. There were chances. It's not like England got a bunch of chances either.
Christian Pulisic put it past the keeper. The problem is the bar.
Yeah.
The crossbar stopped it. Y'all are lucky the crossbar was there.
Okay. That crossbar is from London, I think.
Bro, that crossbar hates America. It must be related to Gary Neville.
There's another
Neville. Gary Neville. Who is it? Which one?
Gary Phil and then the crossbar. Oh, no. Crossbar Neville.
Crossbar Neville, bro? That was a really uncomfortable birth. If you ask Gary Neville, yo, what country does your brother coach in? He'd melt before he could actually say the words United States.
I hated that
of America.
They gave no real credit to the U.S. team.
No. Ian Wright did.
Ian Wright was
Ian
the only
Wright
one.
Gave credit to the U.S. national team, and he said they played it correctly.
Yeah.
They were the ones on the offensive. They were the ones who got after us. They were the ones who played, very physically, and they got after us. I specifically said we would draw their fullbacks out and we would get chances. What did we do?
We drew their fullbacks out and we got some chances.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
But they acted like we couldn't. We were going to go out there and try to play volleyball with our hands.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah. It's just the condescension, the underestimating.
Tell them.
They look, we get it.
They don't like freedom, bro.
They don't watch American players.
No.
And when they do watch Christian Pulisic at Chelsea, oh, he's American. He's just, he's terrible, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, look, I'm not expecting respect from the English.
Bro,
but
we don't need it.
But at the very least, we could be like, yo, y'all didn't show up either, right?
Bro.
We held our own. And the expectation was we were going to get embarrassed. It was going to be similar to the Iran match. And it's quite the opposite.
They thought they were going to cakewalk all the way out of this group.
Uh-huh.
Now you got to beat Wales.
Yeah.
To get in. Other results.
I mean, we also got to beat Iran, but we'll get to that. But this was a shout out to OS NYC. We hosted a watch party.
For OS NYC. We used to do our show out of there. Now it's half a Lebanese cafe, half of a gaming space.
But we hosted a watch party there. Shout out to everybody that came through.
Shouts to Sam for hooking it up. Absolutely incredible.
So really, really dope time. It was a nervy game.
Bro.
Nervy game.
There was a dude in the crowd who said 4-0.
Yeah.
Where I said, where's your 4-0, bro, at the end of the game? Where is it? Look in your pockets. Bro, I tried to tell these people for months, man. I tried to say when I was in England, bro, yeah, y'all ain't going to cakewalk, man. Y'all ain't going to do this. And, yo, they were like, no, it's going to be easy, mate. Oh, we're going to run all over you. Where was it? Where was it?
I mean, look, this was you had tweeted this out.
This is the official Cooligan's immediate reaction. Quick take, hot take. Shouts to Total Soccer Show.
But this was it, bro. Why isn't it playing?
Now it's a beat.
Huh? There it is. I mean,
you might want to start looking around because okay. I didn't see it.
No, so look, y'all, all the comments are still up. Everybody thought we were going to get embarrassed, and it was quite the opposite. But instead of saying
a lot of people going back hitting the delete button,
instead of saying like, "Oh, yo, wow, we really couldn't figure the U.S. out," the narrative is England are too good of a team to play this poorly against the United States.
You know what they're all saying? Oh, why wasn't Phil Foden in the game? As if that would have changed it.
Who is Phil Foden? Is Erling Haaland English? Because that's the only way that game would have been any different.
Bruh. What? You don't worry about where Phil Foden was. Worry about where Serginho Dest and Anthony Robinson are, which is all over the damn wings, bruh.
Weirdly enough,
like a fat guy and a Buffalo Wild Wings, bro. They all over the wings. things, bro.
Damn, bro. Are you speaking from experience?
Yes.
Weirdly enough, Erling Haaland, I believe, was born in England.
Yes, could play for England. Could,
but he chose not to.
Yeah, because his dad.
Yeah, his dad
was playing there.
Makes sense.
Getting his leg broken by someone who doesn't respect America.
So, just incredible stuff. I mean, also, you know, we gotta give a shout out to the sponsor of the show, AutoZone. Get in the zone. Yeah. AutoZone, let's do it.
Today's episode is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You know, first we have to yell at England first.
Yeah, and then we AutoZone gets it, bro. They spell tires with a Y, my G.
It was actually AutoZone that told us to say all of that stuff right before we
mentioned. We were just reading that for AutoZone. Actually, I thought it was quite a good game.
So, let's give some real analysis about this game. The first place I want to start is...
the masterclass by Greg Berhalter.
Yeah, that right. You read my mind, bro. Because I think he very much, I don't know if he, you know, shut up some of the doubters.
He was playing chess,
but the decision, the decision to play 4-4-2, which you've never played.
It wasn't exactly a 4-4-2, but it was because Tim Weah came up as the second striker, but it wasn't really. It was more of this is how we're going to sit defensively, and then when they attack, they switch off.
Very, very much so. Yeah. So on defensively, they were playing 4-4-2,
and so we weren't playing route one. We weren't hoofing it and chasing it. Nothing. And
with the ball, it felt similar to the 4-3-3 that we normally play.
Very much.
But you noticed it. You know, we mentioned it earlier. In the midfield, there was just really nothing going on for England, and that clearly was a calculated decision. The midfielders really did not press high.
Nope.
They just blocked all the passing lanes. Declan Rice out of the game. Jude Bellingham.
Dude, where's Declan Rice? Remember when the Saudi fans were like, where's Messi? Have you seen Messi?
Right,
Where's Declan Rice?
He's in somebody's spot. He's in somebody's pocket.
Bro, remember when I said, though, maybe out of the first 11, there's no one I'd take from the U.S. over England, except maybe Weston McKennie and our editor, Jamie. This man had the balls to say over Declan Rice. Only one of the two players mentioned here showed up today.
Yeah.
And that man is Weston McDonald's putting ranch on pizza.
Look, I mean, I was a little nervous because I thought, you know, Weston McKennie left the game against Wales, and he looked like he had a little bit of an injury. And then in this game, it looked like he was ready. He could have gone, even if the game had gone to like extra time or something. You know what I mean? It looked like he could have stayed.
There was one moment where Weston McKennie grabbed like his crotch area, and I'm like, oh no! But he was just scratching.
He was just scratching, bro. No need to worry. Just a little itch.
He was just making sure that Jude Bellingham was comfortable in his pocket. That's all that was.
Yo, you got shorts with pockets?
Damn.
Dope. Bro,
big enough to fit Bellingham.
Tyler Adams was spectacular.
Tyler Adams wasn't my man of the match, but if Matt Turner wasn't there, he would be.
Okay,
but Matt Turner deserves it. Couple of great saves, great distribution all game.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Who should get it? Because everybody kind of did their job. I thought the weakest player or worst player, even though it's not by some like far degree, but Walker Zimmerman gave away the ball a little too many times. I think the move was let's make those diagonal passes, and he messed up a couple of times and got us in a few dangerous positions. But defensively, they played great. Tim Ream was great. Look, facing up Harry Kane is not easy, and that's
Tim Ream was the best defender on the pitch. Harry Maguire looked really good in corners. But other than that,
I guess that was the best
defender on the pitch.
I would say Harry Maguire was probably the second best defender because he stopped every single corner.
Harry Maguire played out of his skin.
Yeah, that's what we did not need. Put on a Manchester United shirt, bro.
Bro, Harry Maguire. Don't you ever want a vacation here, bro?
Okay. Maybe this is a turnaround for Harry Maguire, and maybe, you know.
No. He does this. He plays well.
First of all,
he plays really good in kind of scruffy games.
Yeah.
That's more of his liking. This is more of his style. He was so good at corners, and at one point, Weston McKennie was like, I'm going to have to body this dude so he doesn't keep getting to the headers. So he doesn't keep getting to the ball. Absolutely incredible. Who's your man of the match? It's tough, man.
It's very tough. I still feel good about Tyler Adams again. I thought he had that that after the turnover, he had that stop, diving challenge to hit the ball, to hit the ball out and, you know, stop the dangerous attack. But he was there all game. You know, it's tough. I mean, I thought Christian Pulisic redeemed himself. I thought
he started to come out of his shell, but I wouldn't go full redeem.
Maybe not full, but better than against Wales.
He started out a little sketchy, though. The first two corners were...
There were just moments, and there's a video that Matt Doyle from MLS retweeted that somebody made a compilation of the game against Wales, people about players not making through passes when they were readily available, and Christian Pulisic did this a couple times early in the first half, but there seems to be, from the midfielders to make that risky pass, but you know, that could really break the lines.
What are you talking about? Walker Zimmerman's doing it, and well, we're asking you not to.
Yeah, he's the only one that probably shouldn't be doing
it. Yeah, we're asking you not to. There's something, and maybe is it something that you would say this is about form, not playing week in and week out at Chelsea has caused him to lose that extra edge, that extra sort of, you know, a bit of form that you need to make that extra pass, to see that ball coming, because he looked like he was making nothing but safe passes. You and I yelled at the screen for the first 20 minutes. He would not progress the ball forward. Yeah. He would see open space, and instead of running into it, he would softly turn and lay it back to the center back, which I understand part of it is to draw somebody out, but move into space, see what they do, especially the beginning of the match where it was two boxers jabbing, seeing what they were going to do. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, you would think that Christian Pulisic would be a little... So to answer your question, is not playing at Chelsea regularly, does it affect his form? Of course it does. I mean, that's an easy...
But you think that's why he's missing that bit more lethal touch?
I wouldn't say that specifically. I think the potential... I think, you know, Christian Pulisic has not reached his full potential. The, you know, him playing week in and week out, of course it would be helpful, but it's also, you know, I don't think he's the greatest player the U.S. has ever produced. I'm not saying that either, right?
Who is?
I mean, I would still say Landon Donovan. So my expectation for him is, you know, yeah, I want him to play a whole bunch and have that confidence and that experience. I mean, from game one against Wales to game two against England, I saw progress. I saw a little bit more confidence. Should he be a better passer? Maybe, but he's not really asked to, you know, make pinpoint passes, you know, 20, 30 yard passes for Chelsea. And I don't think the U.S. is asking that of him either. But there's just been moments, because we saw what the pass to Tim Weah that led to the goal. Only Christian Pulisic is making that pass. You know what I mean? So we know he's capable, but you sense his confidence might be low to make those passes in certain moments. But to me, in the midfield, especially, or at least inside the opponent's half, go for it.
Especially when you get that ball, when you're crowding that final third, I don't understand why we're not taking those opportunities and being way more aggressive. And what I learned from watching today, which was finally we get to see what this team looks like when they're kind of playing at their best. And again, there was a lot of mistakes. There was a lot of missed passes. But they wanted to come out and play a defensive game, and they absolutely did that. The one thing that's very clearly missing from this team is just a true out-and-out number nine. And I understand that that's something that's missing from a lot of nations, from a lot of clubs. It's very difficult to find true number nines. But we have four more years before we're one of the hosts of this world, of the next World Cup in 2026. It would be wonderful to walk into that, even with a 19 or 18-year-old, someone who is just an out-and-out number nine, someone who can finish that ball. Because for all the good things Haji Wright did, for all the good things Josh Sargent can do, for all the good things even a Ricardo Pepi can do, they still lack that killer edge in front of goal. There's something still missing. And it's something that I see like in guys like Kyle Larin. You know, it's like you can make a goal out of nothing. You can almost, you're falling down, you'll find a way to score. Those types of things that just, I'm here to score goals and nothing else. I want one of those guys, because it seems like, and hopefully it's either Greg Berhalter or somebody better, but it feels like this system is missing that one piece.
Maybe, yeah. But like, I would say that about most countries in the World Cup. So it's not a, you know, when we interviewed Greg Berhalter.
They got one in Harry Kane. He didn't do shit today, but they got one.
I mean, I wouldn't say he didn't do shit.
He got one header. That scared us.
He had one header, but his hold-up play was...
His hold-up play was great.
Was spectacular.
Yeah,
dude,
we told him hold
up. We don't have a player like that.
Sure we do.
That can hold the ball the way Harry Kane does.
100%. Zimmerman, bro. No, we ain't got that.
So, look, that is the golden goose, I think, for every nation. They're trying to find a top tier striker comes around. To me, in my opinion, they might be.
Striker or center forward? Because you're talking about center forwards.
But use a number nine, whatever.
Number nine, but not a target man. I don't necessarily think we need a target man.
Okay, you want Benzema. You want Benzema to be American.
Yeah. Give me a Benzema, bro.
You get one Benzema once every like 15 years.
What I'm saying is we need a number nine. I don't need him to be back to the goal, able to hold up the ball. If he did also do that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Right.
And you're Erling Haaland.
Yeah. Then I'm really excited, but I don't even need that because I think the way we play, I need someone similar to like a Harry Kane before we knew he could pass the ball.
Okay.
Someone like that. Just give me someone that could score. If you also have other pieces, bruh, more power to you.
So just to confirm, the person who got player of the match was Christian Pulisic. So he had a fair amount of, you know, chances.
That might be by name only. I don't. Did you hear Kevin De Bruyne said he didn't deserve man of the match?
Yeah. After the game,
he's like, maybe I only got it because of my name.
Yeah. By the way, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. We didn't do an episode obviously during Thanksgiving. But dude,
hey, happy Thanksgiving, bro.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanksgiving.
What was your favorite thing?
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I had some very good stuffing. This like dairy free stuffing. It was absolutely slamming. It was made with like coconut milk. Bro, healthy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving.
Everyone listening and or watching, I need you right now to start the tweet or the comment that lets me know how sad you were as you heard
you
that.
I need my the healthy army. I'm gonna that's what I'm gonna call them. Not even healthy, the healthy army.
The healthy army.
I need y'all to start tweeting at me and with support. I need allies, okay? Because I'm getting overwhelmed, bombarded by people that are just like Christian and his eating habits and blah blah blah. Okay. Bro. You know, I keep a slim figure. It doesn't happen accidentally.
Yo, shouts to my sodium army, bro. Out here eating and tweeting with them crusty ass Cheeto fingers, bro.
Okay, healthy army. Why we avoid dairy, avoid gluten,
avoid
okay?
confrontation.
All right, gluten. You can't see me, gluten. Dairy, bro. Nah. I never even heard of you,
bro. Where's all my slightly inflamed army, bro?
Bro, this man has a non-functioning knee.
The knee coming back. We at 25% right now, baby. We on our way up.
Somebody, did you see the tweet? Somebody said that you might have a herniated disc.
I told you I had a slip disc when I was young.
I'm sorry I don't have the tweet in front of me, but he said that he got surgery to fix that.
I ain't doing that. Not because they slip up a little bit and then you can't, you both knees won't work. You know what I mean?
Bro, just saying.
And I'll have the cleanest sneakers ever.
Sort it out, bro.
Trust me, it's getting sorted out. The couch is getting thrown out, my G.
So the result puts the United States.
You didn't ask me what my favorite thing I ate was.
I don't care.
That's wild disrespectful. For everyone who cares, we didn't do a turkey. My wife still has COVID. I recover. Shouts to my immune system, bro. Also, honey, I'm really sorry for giving you COVID. 2 years and 8 months. You went to a hospital. You saved the city. You didn't get it. But your boy comes home with a little cough. And now you get it. So she's still positive. So we couldn't go visit my mother. So we stayed home. We got a full Peking duck. Shouts to Sanam. Thank you, Sanam. We got a full Peking duck with the scallion pancakes and the green onions and the cucumbers and the plum sauce, the whole nine.
Doesn't sound that healthy, bro.
Bro, sodium army, where are you at? We also had stuffing, real stuffing, all types of dairy. Might have even spilled a little leche in it just in case. Wifey made some stuffing. Also, I had, although she doesn't eat dairy, so probably it was probably also dairy.
You make fun of her?
Oh, but talking about dairy, we had a nice six cheese mac and cheese with the crumbs, with the garlic crumbs on top, and white mashed potatoes. Shouts to Fresh Direct. You boys ain't trying to. I cooked the duck. I finished the duck.
You finished the duck.
Yeah, it came almost pre-cooked.
What does that mean? Almost pre-cooked.
I had to finish it because there's like a three-step.
I mean, like you have to reheat it.
No, it's a three-step cooking process. I did the last one.
Got it.
So you got it. It was a full legit picking up. By the way, the instructions were, you know, put the glaze, finish the glaze, do this. The last instruction, slice the duck. It's a whole ass duck. I don't know how to slice no duck, bro. I ain't got that kind of knives. Bro, that was a mess. There's a mess. There was duck fat everywhere in the house. Shouts to Peking duck.
Okay. The result leaves the United States in third place.
Right where we want them. Because the person in second place, we play next.
So 2 points, obviously 2 draws, a goal differential of 0.
Had Iran and Wales drew,
that would have been ideal.
We'd be in second.
We would be in second.
But we'd still need to at least draw against Iran in order to win, in order to qualify.
No, we need to win against Iran. There's no
Had Wales and Iran drew, then we would have and we had this result. We would have just needed a draw against
as long as Wales didn't beat England by
more than
2 goals or 3 goals or something. Okay. Like that. Yeah. So
no, they would need a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Correct.
Okay. So now now we need to win. We need to beat Iran. Who's beatable?
They are beatable. We've seen them lose.
Yeah.
They're
not the same team that played England.
Before the group stages started, I would have said Iran was the weakest team. And now it's clearly Wales is the weakest team.
Yeah.
That's obvious. Well, we backed into a wall. We're controlling our own destiny.
We control our own destiny. So I would say we're back.
The main thing is
we can't draw.
We can't draw. Iran can get in with a draw.
Right.
We need to win. So this is what I'm.
And if Wales beats England, then we don't qualify because it would go England and Wales.
If we also win against Iran?
If we beat Iran and Wales beats England. No, if we lose to Iran and Wales beats England, we're still out because then England slides.
The goal differential would now that would come into play. We would have 4 points and tied with Wales.
If we drew or lost to Iran.
We have to win against Iran. There's no other outcome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So we have to win against Iran and then the result between Wales and England, if England loses, that is bad. But if they lose 1-0, we're in. Oh no, right? Yeah, we're in because we'd be above Iran.
Right.
We're gonna finish with 4 points if we win. And that should essentially keep us safe.
Right. As long as Wales doesn't win by more than 2.
Correct. Because it would be.
So if England and Wales go to a 0-0 draw, then we're goody. As long as we beat Iran.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we'd have.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Though. We'd have 4. Iran would finish with 3. And Wales would finish with 2. I mean, all eyes on that game, man. It's going to be intense. You saw the game against Wales. So I don't expect Wales to win. They just lost their keeper. Wayne Hennessy,
great name.
Karate need the Iranian player coming.
Wayne Cobra Kai Hennessy
coming out of the box. It was a poor challenge. Part of me, it was initially given as a yellow card. VAR
overturned it,
or suggested the referee look at it and made it a red. I honestly would have been okay with a yellow there. It seemed like aggressive challenge for sure, and I'm totally fine with the red.
You watch it in slow motion; it looks violent.
But it looks violent. It wasn't as much as Hennessy kicking the player. It was that the player was running with so much speed towards the ball, and Sean Hannity. Hennessy.
He ain't got no ups.
Hennessy and Coke, bro. His leg was there to be run into by the player. That's sort of how I saw it. So I think that's why the referee initially gave it a yellow. But fine, totally fine with the red card. But the goalkeeper, I'm forgetting his name right now, but he's the goalkeeper for Leicester City. a perfectly fine keeper. And yeah. and Wales, I was like, I was rooting for that 0-0 draw just relentlessly. And they were so close to getting it. But playing with 10 men, there is that well, they zoomed in on Gareth Bale, and there's a moment where you can read his lips, and he's saying,
"You gotta run."
Yeah,
I know it's fucking hard, but you just gotta fucking run.
Yeah. So it's look.
But shouts to the cameraman for being like, "I'm gonna pin this to Gareth Bale." Yeah,
they know what they're doing.
There's a great. It reminded me of, but for a different reason. I don't know if you ever saw this. It's one of my favorite. What's it? Maitland-Niles.
Yeah, yeah,
Ainsley. I was going to say Wainsley, and I knew that was wrong. Ainsley Maitland-Niles. He scored an own goal once for Arsenal, mm-hmm. but he passed it back to where Brad Bern Leno was supposed to be, and he wasn't. So the ball trickles in, and he's like, and as he turns around, he mouths, and oh, this is all the caption was, "Who the fuck told you to come off the line, bro?"
love that honesty.
It was so North London, bro. I was like, yo, that's real. Who told you to come off the line, bro? And he was like, he turned as he sucked his teeth. Dude, it looked like a fucking scene out of Top Boy, bro. It was great. I do want to say, before we get off the subject of the USA game, I just want to talk a little bit about the scoring here.
You mean the ratings?
The ratings that FOB Mob put.
Because nobody scored. There was not much.
Sergiño Dest, we would both agree, played incredibly well. Made a couple of mistakes passing-wise, but played incredibly well defensively. Kept tracking back, got back to where he needed to be.
Best part of the best thing Sergiño Dest did was not get a yellow card. There were no yellow cards issued in this game, right?
Well, the ref was like, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
let them fuck each other up.
Luke Shaw definitely deserved one for sure.
Which would have been out of the game if they was called the same way the Wales USA game was called.
Right, right.
Sergiño Dest received a rating of 6.8, which is to me just way lower than I expected. He played to me a 7.3.
I mean, that's not that far off. Were you offensive?
No. When you get it's orange.
It's orange. Oh my god, it's
out of the green. He deserved a green.
Okay.
You don't think he deserved an A or at least
no,
a B?
No, I don't think most players on the pitch. I'm seeing too much green there, to be honest.
That's crazy. Well, here's the green. I'm shocked. The England back line.
Because they had to make a lot of defensive stops.
They had to make a lot of defensive stops, but we had some of them on skates, bro.
Some of them. Yeah, right. That doesn't count as a goal.
Where? Yo.
Putting them on skates.
Stones? Stones didn't look that good. 7.0?
Stones and Maguire were both very good.
Maguire was very good. Stones didn't look that good. Declan Rice got 7.1. For what? Reading a book?
that one seems a little ridiculous because he didn't really do much of anything in my opinion.
Saka got a 6.4. Bro, I said we needed to frustrate Saka. There was a moment where he was carrying the ball. Very wide. He had the ball and it sort of trickled out of over the line and out of bounds. And I believe it was Anthony Robinson. I forgot who was on him at the time. Just kind of as he had the foot over the ball, just kind of pushed him lightly.
Yeah.
And he fell onto the ball, like on his ass, and did that thing where you roll over the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a seal on SeaWorld. And I'm like, that's how you get in this player's head.
Well, look,
that's the kind of stuff you have to do. Those little things that kind of make you look foolish.
Yes. And Anthony Robinson has faced plenty of Premier League players.
7.7.
He was.
Tim Ream, 6.9. You would agree that's low? That's a 7.4.
That seems a little bit low.
That's a 7.4.
Okay. Okay, this is not the conversation I want to be having. This is
Zimmerman, 6.6. That's still a little low for Zimmerman.
It's whatever. Look, nobody scored. It was a 0-0 game.
Christian hates our back line, bro.
You get mad at me for like spreadsheets and stats, and you're looking at these decimal points. Decimal points.
Bro, this shows a wild level of disrespect. Don't you dare be off 0.5.
Okay. So let's move on.
No, actually, I want to talk about, none of this is confirmed, but somebody tweeted out that England fans were making paper airplanes, sending them towards the American fans and chanting 9/11, which in your accent means a different date. I think that's November 11th. Nothing happened on that day. No, November
9th.
9th. Yeah, nothing happened on that day. But also, we're not... Hopefully no Americans chanted Lizzie's in a box. Hopefully no Americans, you know, chanting some wild disrespectful stuff. All we've heard is that you've done that. That's a little tacky. That's look, 2,700 people die, bro.
Yeah.
It's also our city. You know what I mean? Like, It's a little bit much, bro.
Yeah, it's not good banter. We've mentioned that in the past. Look,
also was Frank Lampard there? Remember, he was the one in the airport. They said was laughing.
What?
You didn't hear that? Frank Lampard was in an airport. The English team was traveling for an international game when 9/11 happened.
Okay.
And the rumor was that a bunch of them were getting drunk at a bar at the airport and were clapping and laughing as it was happening. And Frank Lampard was always someone that was brought up. Remember when he came to NYCFC?
Yeah,
this
yeah.
kept getting brought up that he like laughed.
I never heard this before.
You never heard this?
No, never.
There's a bunch of players. I don't think Rooney was one of them, but there was a bunch of players that were getting drunk. And the rumor was that an American tourist saw them laughing and enjoying themselves while watching the footage of it happening as it was happening.
God, but they weren't necessarily making fun of it. They might have just been drunk and laughing. Or they were laughing at it.
I think the story from the FA was that they were watching a different television, which had the scores of the other competition.
Gotcha. All right. Well, look, I mean, it's awful. I hope that didn't happen, but yeah. it's obviously awful.
So the joke is, was Frank Lampard in the crowd? It's just really corny.
It's crappy. I mean, look, and you know, we're stand-up comics.
You know what, England fans, you get a 5.8, bro.
we've heard every joke. I feel like amongst most people, we can objectively be like, all right, this is, regardless if it's offensive or not, we can just be like, all right, it's corny.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to be saying. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on. There were two matches, three matches beforehand. Obviously, Wales are on. We know the result of that.
You woke up for the 5 a.m.?
I did. I watched that game fully.
So did I, and it was really difficult to stay awake.
It was not for me. I was too anxious about this game. The anxiety was my coffee. It kept me awake. I was up until the end. I was just like, please, Wales, hold on. Do not give up a goal. Do not give up a goal. Then Hennessy gets the red card.
I didn't care so much about the draw because I do think we can and will and shall beat Iran. It's too much to me to be like, we need at least a draw. It's too much for me.
But we could have drawn Iran.
Yes, it's too much for me to be like, oh, just play for the draw. We got to go out there and win.
Iran can be like, we got to play for the draw. And they could probably get it. That's the problem. So that's why I was anxious about it.
Yeah, but if they do that, then they play into our hand. Because then they're just going to sit there and wait.
But look, it's a World Cup. Anything can happen. I don't want to have the moment that we had, even though it was an amazing moment with Landon Donovan scoring against Algeria that got us to the knockout round. That last moment. Well, you don't want it to come to that.
You don't want history to be made again?
It might.
Wow. That's what happens when you don't eat dairy, dude.
a nice 2-0, 3-0 victory would be what I prefer.
We got to get some gluten in you to feed that dog. You know,
okay. Woof, woof. All right.
He's starving right now, bro.
So the
Netherlands, Ecuador.
Yeah, and somebody tweeted out. I think somebody said this in the chat last week or something like that when we were talking about Netherlands. But Netherlands in Spanish, you see what it's called, right?
Holandia.
No.
What?
No, Netherlands. They say Países Bajos. It's the literal translation of Netherlands. We just say lower lands.
Yeah.
Lower countries.
Weren't they always going with Hollandia?
Holanda would be Holland.
Yeah. And it's Netherlands.
But that's why it's being on all the broadcasts. It's being described and written as Países Bajos, which I've literally never seen before.
Bro.
It's just, you know what
I never thought about? What Wales was called? And then someone's like, Gales. And I was like, where'd the G come from?
So that was also a good game. Remember, I told you on Wednesday, right? Wednesday? What day is it? Today's Thursday. Friday, Saturday. Sure. I told you on Wednesday.
You could have just moved forward.
You said Netherlands were going to absolutely dominate.
Yeah.
It was the complete opposite. Ecuador, I thought, very much held their own, probably similar to this U.S. England.
I think what I'm most impressed with, first of all, Cody Gakpo.
Yeah.
His value just continues to go every time he touches the ball. But also, what I'm most impressed with is Ecuador's defending isn't just good in CONMEBOL. It's just good, dude.
They were good in qualifying. I mean, people constantly underestimate them. They were really good. They finished third, I think, in CONMEBOL. That's Brazil, Argentina, Ecuador.
Yeah.
That's no joke.
And they deserve to be there.
100%. So I did not think I thought the win against Qatar was very much deserved. And did you see the goal that got called offside?
Yes.
Let's talk about it, bro, because this seems like a poor implementation of the rule. The rule is almost too literal because this keeper was never getting this ball. It deflected. The player that was, yes, in an offside position didn't affect the play literally at all because the keeper dove in the opposite direction.
Also, he kind of didn't make a motion or an athletic move to suggest, oh, I'm going to juke you out. He just lampposted.
Keeper dove the wrong way or dove in the way that the direction that the ball was going. It hit a player that was in an onside.
Somebody else.
Who was in an onside.
Onside.
Position. And for that reason, the goal's called back. Offside, player interference, essentially. And that
the one thing that you could say is that he blocked the vision, but it wouldn't have mattered anyway because of the deflection.
Right. So poor decision in my opinion, but so it feels like Ecuador got hard done there.
But Ecuador, I'm very comfortable in saying I think Ecuador makes it through the group. They're in second place now. But I'm very comfortable in saying that the other ones will make it through.
Right.
Also, Netherlands are happy to have you back. You're at the top of your group. You missed out the last World Cup. They are also kind of missing some type of edge defensively. Sure. There's just something there.
I mean, they have just don't have Van Dijk and Dumfries.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you beasts. Should be good.
They should be all right. But I would say the bigger concern is that they're not scoring more goals. They scored two against who they play in the first game. They play Senegal. Mm-hmm. They scored two against them. But I think this game is more about how good Ecuador is rather than how bad Netherlands are. Because I think they're both getting out of the group.
Right. But Netherlands has some holes for sure.
So and Qatar played Senegal. They lost 3-1.
Qatar is officially out. First, the first
country
nation, in this tournament to be out. And I think the fastest a host has ever been knocked out.
Okay.
It's not looking good.
Yeah,
you put all that.
They were trying their best. They got their goal.
They scored a goal.
Yeah, so everybody was, the 12 native Qataris were very happy.
All of them. They were sitting around a table just stabbing a dairyless stuffing.
Did we talk about the two Everton fans that
got hung out with a lion?
Hung out with the lion?
No.
We didn't talk about it, right? Yeah, that was on the first day or second day?
That was the first day. That was after
this World Cup
match.
It feels like it's been going on for 3 months. I am so tired.
It's a week and a half. Not even. It's a week and 2 days.
Has it even been 7 days? No. It's been...
Today's day five?
Today's day six.
Oh, my God.
It started on Sunday, bro. What do you mean, bro, week and a half? What?
We can't do this every 2 years, bro. I thought it was a week and a half. I was also sick for 4 or 5 of them. Still woke up every day and watched it,
though. Bro, incredible day, man. Not much else. I just wanted to make sure I played this at some point because I forgot to get it to. But shout out to Amelia Lopez, Amelia and Wiso were on the show.
They won a competition to be sent to the World Cup by us
on Monday. But
thank you so much for
they went to they're in Qatar and they've been sending us some dope footage. But they went to the U.S. England game and there was this lovely moment where the fans.
It's actually this might be my favorite song.
Yeah, I mean, it's a banger. I mean, you know Drake's going to get on this remix. It
has to be.
But here it goes. If you can't hear it.
The lyrics are, it's called soccer. Clap, 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 clap. It's called soccer.
That's it, bro. It's nil. It's a nil-nil victory for the U.S.
Bro.
That's what it's called now, bro.
Put the 3 points on the board, baby. We got that nil-nil, my G.
Okay. We'll see you in the knockout round.
Take your time, everybody.
So just a wild day. The fact that it ended nil-nil. Does it feel like
it leaves the door open for England to say some
it just shit. I wanted closure.
I wanted that win.
I wanted either for us to have to deal with all the banter of losing or just just laying it on them every single time because we won.
Because I would have been relentless for 4 years.
I wanted that so badly.
So bad. But look, I'm actually quite happy. I know I said 2-1. You said 2-1 as well. At halftime, we both switched to a 1-0, and we couldn't get that one goal over the line, but we also didn't capitulate. We didn't fall. They couldn't really figure us out. We had them on lock. We did everything we needed to do. I walk out of that game saying, once again, if the team that showed up first half against Wales had shown up against England, I knew we stood a chance, and they did for 90 straight minutes.
Yeah.
We didn't have all the momentum always, but for 90 straight minutes, they played at their best. If we bring that to Iran, there's no way we're not getting into that.
Yeah.
We've got to do a watch party on Tuesday, bro.
Yeah, we got to do something.
Maybe we'll do something here.
We'll be here. So, oh my goodness. So the... Any prediction, not necessarily score with against Iran, but let's predict maybe what the lineup will be. You think there'll be any changes at all?
No, I think this 4-4-2, I think we're going to see it again. I think defensively it shows really strong. Maybe there's a chance we bring in like a Gio Reyna or a Brendan Aaronson.
So you don't think there's any change in the starting line? There was obviously one change.
Haji Wright.
I could probably see Jesus Ferreira starting.
Jesus Ferreira was great. Did you hear that Arsenal are considering a bid for him?
I did not hear that.
Bro, Arsenal are considering a bid for Jesus Ferreira.
I don't know why.
What are you talking about? First of all,
I mean, it seems like they have could probably find other options, but I'm not saying he's a bad player by any means, but it's a little bit of a shock of a name to hear associated with Arsenal.
Buddy, if this was a badge, I'd rip it off your shirt, dude.
Look, I mean, we interview Jesus, the homie. I hope he goes to... Go to Everton, bro. Go to Everton. We need you there.
First of all, then Arsenal would have three, maybe four Gabbies and two Jesuses, bro.
Everton could use some of the American players.
Yeah.
We could use a couple of those.
If y'all got Christian Pulisic, it would change everything.
Let's change
everything. But shouts to Jesus Ferreira.
But as far as Brendan Aaronson or Gio Reyna, you think you make a change?
You maybe Brendan Aaronson
because you're still at the risk of Serginho Dest, Weston McKennie. There's four players that are sitting on yellow cards.
Doesn't it reset after the group stage?
I don't think so.
I believe it does.
Okay, I hope so.
I believe it resets after the group stage.
Somebody correct. I feel like it doesn't.
I feel like it does.
But because I think the only time it resets is the final. That's usually most tournaments, but let's see. I could be wrong. I personally think there should be one. I'd
like to see Weston McKennie maybe get a little bit of a break. He could come on if we need him.
Yeah. Like Brendan Aaronson, I think he could get some burn and do some damage in the game. So all eyes on Tuesday. This weekend.
It's gonna be a great one.
This weekend.
No episodes this weekend,
but we'll be back on Monday with the recap of everything that happened over the weekend. Obviously, the big game I think everybody's going to be paying attention to is Argentina and Mexico.
That's what Mexico needed. An Argentina that's trying to get its respect back.
That's going
to
be an interesting
that
one.
That could be rough
I
one.
Wonder if Mexico does maybe, play the way the U.S. played England. I mean, that was the game. Everybody expected them to be, humiliated and dominated. And look, Argentina, they're playing in this game with a different emotional. There's a different urgency.
They want their respect. Back.
People didn't expect it. Have you seen the videos of Herve Renard?
The halftime talk,
bro. I mean. I feel like we should react to this because this is truly just one of those.
I actually haven't watched it yet.
This is pretty cool. I mean, you guys, you'll be able to hear it. Here goes. I don't know what's up with Twitter.
Translators trying to catch that same energy.
Yeah, That's a good one. He's talking about Messi. He's like, yeah, you got to press him. Messi gets the ball and you just watching him and just looking at him. He's like, oh, you should take out your phone and take a selfie with him.
It's so funny because it's not like, go ahead, take a photo. There's no sarcasm, but it hits because he's French.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? He's saying like, you're better off doing that because you wasn't playing football.
I mean, they were down 1-0 at halftime. And then he does this, man. And this and
finish it. Bro, can we get someone who speaks Arabic standing behind me when I'm saying, where's that 4-0? And he hits it.
But he's delivering it with the same energy.
You got to match. You got to match that energy,
and,
bro.
I mean, look, it's a World Cup. There's, you know, that you only have 15 minutes. Maybe you have 10 minutes in that room to deliver your halftime talk. And, you know, we got applause to the translator, dude. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm sure, yo, look, not all the players speak English or understand.
Right.
But the translator was so like,
everyone understood the translator, bro.
The translator. Well, he understood the tone. You got the tone from Renard.
Uh-huh.
You it makes sense. You're like, all right.
Coach, I get a gist of
coach
what
is
saying.
Mad at us. Yeah, I'm getting, yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
He seems to be talking to me. He said Messi and phone.
He's pointing directly at me and making eye contact. Right. I have a good feeling he's talking to me.
But his shoulders were up and both of his hands were exposed. That's generally not a good sign.
He's showing me his palm,
yeah,
bro.
Man, that's not a good thing because he might smack me with one of them.
So just impressive.
I wish we had translators, bro. Well, I'm like, yo, where's your 4-0? And someone behind me is like,
imagine we had Arabic translators.
Bro, that's what I just said before.
I know. I'm continuing that.
I'm not going to do the accent or figure it out. But it would be fire.
That's the game I'm obviously going to be paying attention to.
Are you waking up for Tunisia, Australia at 5 a.m.? That's the real question. Be honest.
There's only three more days.
Of 5 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's it. I'm doing it. Let's go. I mean, I'm running on fumes. I could really use
8 to 10 hours
of sleep because I've been getting pretty much like 4 or 5.
You know what I did today, which amazing halftime nap, first match.
Okay.
Post first match nap for an hour.
Okay.
Buddy, I felt
that. No, it's a good move. I've done that a couple times. Yeah.
Wild dreams. Really wild dreams in the last hour.
Wild dream of Christian Pulisic holding the World Cup trophy.
I had this dream, bro. I'm not kidding, right? I was riding on an eagle. And I flew to your in-laws' house, and I poured milk all over the stuffing.
And Poppy was there, and he said, "It's the cooligans,
buddy." That's how I knew I needed to wake up.
So,
but then your wife's family saw me, and I had to get at her by saying, "You don't know where I'm from, dog." And then I flew away on the eagle, and everyone.
Look at this.
They clap.
It's like a children's story. So, Poland, Saudi Arabia, Argentina, Mexico, Tunisia, Australia, France, Denmark, a bunch of, pretty good matches. The Poland, Saudi Arabia is going to be an interesting one because Saudi Arabia, they win or they get even a point.
They're getting through.
It's
close, but they're going to get through.
Argentina and Mexico are.
Argentina got to batter Mexico, bro.
The match for Poland Saudi Arabia will happen first, obviously, but it's going to put even more importance on that game, especially if one of them win, but even worse if Saudi Arabia win.
Does Mexico beat Argentina?
I'm going to have to go with my gut and just say no. I think Argentina.
I can't see how that.
They're not going to play the same high line like Saudi Arabia did. Mexico also played Argentina in a friendly early this year, late last year. There was a game they did play each other. Did they show the last matchup or something like that? I don't know. I think Argentina is they're too frustrated and upset with that loss. And also when you see
it was a 4-0 Argentina, Mexico has
that was in 2019. That was the last one. Okay. Yeah.
Going back to 2015, Mexico is 0-1 and 0-4-1.
Okay.
Against Argentina.
They
So your gut is pretty standard.
Yeah. Argentina should win. I mean, I think it's going to be, they're really going to go for it. And I don't think we're not going to see, 15 offside calls and goals being turned back like it was against Saudi Arabia. But we'll see. I think Mexico can score, but I don't think they're going to win the game. Sunday, we have Japan, Costa Rica, Spain, Germany, which should be a really good one. Which I think we're going to go to hang out with TSS.
Yeah.
At that game,
most likely.
Yes. And Belgium, Morocco, and Croatia, Canada. So
Canada.
Did you see the?
Tata Martino said he thought Canada was the best looking team so far in this tournament. So Tata Martino looking for a new job, Canada.
No, I saw this from Dwayne Di Rosario. He had tweeted a newspaper. Here it is, from Croatia, and basically because John Herdman said after the loss to Belgium,
fuck Croatia.
We're gonna go and fuck Croatia, which is very strange.
Just wear protection, bro.
He said, well, yeah, we're gonna F Croatia because obviously he's very upset about the loss to Belgium. And the newspaper in Croatia
gave him a nice little
Canadian little leaf where basically said, "Are you the translation one?
You have the mouth, but do you have the balls as well?"
So, and there's a little tiny Canadian leaf covering his genital area,
his manhood.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's the cover of a newspaper. It says, "You got the mouth, but you got the balls as well."
Yeah.
Which is also what it says in the Cooligan's Grindr account.
I wrote it myself.
Yeah. Why do we have one? I don't know. You just got to get your name in every social media. You never know.
I'm just trying to network.
Okay.
You let people know. Preach the Cooligan's gospel.
One by one in the DMs.
Okay. It's just all part of our marketing plan.
Don't worry about it. You pay too much attention to it anyway, dude.
Guerrilla marketing. So
bear marketing.
There's clearly that game probably has a little bit more this tension.
This is now making it harder for Canada. This is why coaches don't speak this way.
Yeah, he shouldn't have said that. I mean, another way to put it.
I do like the fact that he said it, though. It's a little bit of mayhem.
It's the World Cup.
It's also like, yo, it's different for Canada. Canadians aren't seen way in the
Canadians
world.
Don't speak like this.
Yeah. And even though he's not Canadian, he still represents Canada in this tournament.
Of course.
It's nice to see this attitude. And Canada played well, I know you love the way they played. You and Tata Martino. I thought they kind of looked like chickens without a head. I think they were all over the field.
Even Kevin De Bruyne is like, I can't believe we won. I shouldn't have been mad at the match. And Alexis is like, Canada was trash. They weren't.
No, I never said they were trash. I said they were running around like crazy.
They were spectacular. Kevin De Bruyne is Batshuayi. Everybody said we got trash. Lucky. Thierry Henry. After the game,
he said they played very brave.
The players are walking down the tunnel, and Thierry Henry daps up every single Canadian player.
He also knows a lot of them.
Sure, but you saw in it, he's like, raising his eyebrows and being like, "Oh, bro, can't believe we actually, can't believe we won that good." He's obviously complimenting them, but there's a little bit of like respect,
right?
You guys probably deserve a result
in
that
game.
Yes,
they played well, but I still think they were playing on 11, I don't know if that's the squad that's going to come out against Croatia.
Okay, well, not even the Belgian players agree with you, but well, fine.
Come on.
The Belgian players are wrong. Alexis knows.
Come on, Luka Modric. Dial it back, baby. No, shouts to Canada, man. I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy for you.
Okay, so a lot of big matches this weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new Cooligans World Cup Daily. It's been wild. I mean, look, these 5 a.m. wake ups. We've been watching every game. Thank you to everybody who's been tuning in. We got a lot of compliments, a lot of people that have been appreciating just appreciating the daily episode. So shouts to you. Shout out to Gully Squad, everybody on Patreon. Thank you so much for the support. Patreon.com/soccercooligans.
And I will fix it. I don't know why I keep saying Gully Squad. We could do this without you.
Because you're copying and pasting.
No. It's the one that auto loads.
No, no, no. That wasn't. It was just an old one. Somebody had found an old episode description.
Oh, well, we don't know why.
Okay.
We'll fix it.
So we appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll be back Monday.
Wait, real quick before. Who do you think wins the tournament? I want a readjustment after 5 days.
Oh, who wins the whole thing?
The whole thing. We've seen every team play once, mostly twice now.
Right now, I guess you would have to favor Spain.
Spain look good.
They obviously embarrassed Costa Rica, but I
oh, not Germany, not Canada. Oh, I love Canada. This one over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
That,
so
that's the point. I'm saying Canada are the best team ever that have ever played world football.
Oh,
right.
Thierry Henry shook all of their hands.
It's just this.
Thierry Henry touched
the way wall. Gary Neville won't give the U.S. credit. I'm giving Canada credit.
I didn't see.
How much more evidence do you need, bro?
See the grace.
Kevin De Bruyne is like, I cannot believe I'm receiving this award. It's ridiculous. We did not deserve to win that game. We got lucky.
He didn't say a Canadian should have won this award. He just said, I don't think I was the best player in that game.
Ridiculous.
I only got it because of my name. And you're like, I told you the Canadians were great.
Anyway.
Oh, Christian Herdman over here. yeah, I think Spain looked really incredible. And also, I know Neymar is not there, but who cares, bro? Brazil are so stacked.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Richarlison.
Oh, my God. Why would you want to talk about your former player?
Bro, fine. Oh, he's Tottenham. He's great. Everybody loves Tottenham players.
Right? We all love Tottenham.
Yeah, Brazil. So the one concern is Neymar is he might be out the remaining matches in the group stage.
Which is fine. His ankle has, one side's bigger than the other.
I mean,
it's not a good sign.
He packed a tennis ball on his ankle.
Yeah, not a good sign, bro. Take the lime out and make yourself a drink, buddy.
Some people, they criticize Neymar because they feel like he holds the ball a little too long and draws. Look, that's the gift and a curse of a player with that much skill.
This is what
you're gonna get fouled a lot.
Jack Wilshere, they used to say like he holds the ball for a half a second too long, but it's that thing of like trying to get around a player, have them overcommit. That's how you get injured. That's how you get kicked in the ankles.
Yeah.
It takes balls to do that.
Yeah,
John Herdman. Takes balls.
So, Christian,
who do I think will win? Great question. I think Spain looked incredibly well. Like I said, Brazil to me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That I forgot about Brazil when I gave my answer, but I'm still fine with Spain. I think, Spain was
Spain
spectacular. Okay. I mean, there's other controversy from the other day. Ronaldo getting that penalty that probably shouldn't have been.
Should not have been.
Which gave Portugal.
Christine Uncle answered me back, though.
Christina Uncle.
Christina Uncle.
Mm-hmm.
She did answer me back. And if I have a chance here, I'm going to pull it up so you guys could see it. Because she kind of...
You can go to notifications and then mentions. And then you'll see who... Oh, wait. No, she quote tweeted you.
Yeah, she quote tweeted me, dude. Get out of here.
Okay. All right. Well,
I had her explain it to me again.
Christina Uncle, obviously, just an incredible ref and now works for CBS.
Legitimately one of the best people on TV. Yeah. I mean, she is just a joy to watch. I said, how is that not checked by VAR?
Yes.
Because that shouldn't have been. It said every penalty, whether given or not, is automatically checked by VAR. Then VAR has to decide whether to recommend it down to the official on the pitch. In FIFA World Cup, the standard is whether VAR thinks it's wrong. The FIFA referees have been receiving the same training together for four plus years together. In FIFA World Cup, the standard is whether VAR thinks it's wrong. So VAR,
VAR
didn't think the call was wrong.
Right. Or there wasn't enough evidence to say, I clearly and obviously think you made an error. That's all it's saying. There was contact. It was incredibly soft. A lot of people, Ghana, they're mad at Ismail Elfath, MLS referee. Everybody's now pointing.
My group chat was like, you notice you? My group chat, which has a couple Ghanaians in it, were big mad.
I think we met, was Ismail Elfath at the coaches convention?
We have met him in dress clothing. He wasn't at the coaches convention.
I have a feeling. I thought he was sitting down, but maybe I'm wrong.
We have met him though.
So, look, controversial stuff, but the Iñaki Williams could have really done one of the most epic things ever in a World Cup. I think on par with Suarez, swatting the ball down against Ghana. Iñaki Williams, remember at the end of the game, he hid behind the keeper.
No, that was the Ghanaian player.
Iñaki Williams. Iñaki Williams is Ghanaian. He was born in Spain, represents Ghana.
That's right. He plays for Atletico Bilbao.
Exactly. And his brother plays for Spain.
I thought for the some other, reason. The other for, one some, I, for some reason, I thought you were wrong.
Okay.
But you're not.
Of course.
But yeah, he hit, but yo, couldn't finish it.
I know he slipped. He didn't. I guess he obviously didn't expect to get the ball, but it was got so excited about it that he slipped. It would have been a tap in if he would have just stood. Just God. So wild.
It would have been the major highlight.
Yeah, dude. Wild World Cup so far. It's only match day 6, bro. It's only match day 6.
It's been a month and a half.
Okay. Our 6 days, become 42 calendar days.
Bro, I have buzzed my beard 3 times since this World Cup has started. I am wild stressed.
So you're welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to, again, everybody, Gully Squad. Join the Patreon. We're doing a bunch of fun stuff on there. We got a bunch of clips, and especially from the... we did a watch party and a bunch of stuff going up there. So go patreon.com/soccercoolings. Get in there.
Oh, my God.
We'll be back on Monday. We'll see you soon. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.